Hello, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we wrap up the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. So get your Bible, if you can, open it up to the last chapter, chapter 22, and we left off last time in verse 6. Revelation 22, verse 6. While you're doing that, just a quick reminder that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Study the Word of God with me from Genesis through Revelation using my audio Bible messages. And yes, you can study the whole Bible, three complete series going through the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation, or study in any order that you want or any book that you want to study, however you want to do it. The important thing is to study God's Word and study the whole counsel of God, because God gave it all to us for a reason. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So God has been describing our new home, our new eternal home. Been talking about the new earth somewhat, the new heavens somewhat, but most of all, he's been talking about the new Jerusalem, which is the crown jewel of the new earth, the capital city of the world. And it's where Jesus will be in person. And he's been describing it, and every now and then he'll throw in, these words are faithful and true, because otherwise we'd say that's just impossible. I can't fathom it, can't wrap my mind around how great it's going to be. Well, with that, let's pick it up in verse 6. And he said unto me, here we go again, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. God is the Lord God of the holy prophets. There are a lot of people in the world today who claim to be prophets, but they're not holy prophets, because a lot of things that they say are frivolous at best, and contrary to Scripture at worst. And they are not holy prophets. They are people who speak, as the Word of God says, the imagination of their own hearts. And God is not their God. And he is not their God, and they are not his prophet. And they are taking God's name in vain. We have the completed Word of God. We have the entirety of God's Word written down for us. Prophecy is concluded with the final book, as we will see today. Add not to my word, take not away from my word. It's here. So anybody comes along and says, I have a word from God, walk away. Now, he said unto me, these my words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. Jesus says that God will bless those who obey his word. If nothing else, the book of Revelation teaches that it is smart to be on God's side. It may not always be easy to be on God's side, but it's smart. And over again in the book of Revelation, we are reminded that we'll be better off in the end if we persevere with Christ. Verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And then notice verse 9, then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Never, ever, ever bow before an angel or a human being. This angel was a servant of God, and that is it. No human being, no angel deserves any kind of spiritual devotion. None, period. They do not deserve it, no matter how good they may have been, no matter how holy they may be. They don't deserve our devotion, our worship. They do not deserve it, no matter how righteous they are, how devoted to God they are. They don't deserve it. And if they are truly devoted to God, they do not want it. They do not ask for it. They do not expect it. Notice how this holy angel was appalled that the apostle would bow before him. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's supposedly Mary, who appears in a vision and asks for devotion to her. That's not of God, my friends. That is a powerful delusion. That is a powerful deception. But it's not of God. It contradicts Scripture. And that's the measuring line. And she's not the co-redemptress. There's one redeemer between God and man and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Mary would be appalled at the things that are said of her because she was so devoted to God and so devoted to Jesus. Verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And this is a command to believe the essential message of this book and live in light of it. Don't seal it up. The time is at hand. Read it, believe it, live it. The essential message is this: get right with Jesus. Don't hide this word. Angel says, don't seal it up. This thing needs to be proclaimed. This thing needs to be taught. Get right with Jesus and persevere with Jesus, because God will make it worth your while if you do. Good Christians can disagree about all the details of the end times and how they're all going to work out. Good Christians who love Jesus and love the Word of God can disagree on the details. And they do. And I'm not going to break fellowship with somebody who believes in a pre-tribulation rapture or a mid-tribulation rapture. I disagree with them, but I'm not going to break fellowship with them if they love Jesus and they believe the Word of God. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm not going to do that. I've had people break fellowship with me, but I wouldn't break fellowship with them because they differ on some of the details of the end time. Obviously, there have been differences since the beginning of the church age. Obviously, in some people's mind, it's not that clear. It's crystal clear to me. So I'm not going to break fellowship with somebody who disagrees about the details. But always remember that our convictions about uncertain things should not overshadow the essential message, which is that Jesus is the only way to heaven, which is that Jesus is the only Savior, which is that you must repent and receive Christ as your Savior and submit to His Lordship, and that there's a literal hell for the demons, for Satan, for people who reject Christ, for people who don't repent. There's a literal everlasting hell. That's part of the essential message. And there's a literal everlasting heaven and new earth and new heavens for those who are saved. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And the point is this. God has spoken the truth, and he will not change his mind. He has nothing more to say. This is it. It is the way it is, and people should understand that. Do life God's way or suffer. Receive Christ or be damned. Now is the time to choose, which is what this verse is talking about. Now is the time to choose. But what this verse is saying is that the time will come when it will be too late to choose or too late to change your choice. The evil person will be locked into their evil. The guilty person will be locked into their guilt. The hell-bound sinner will be bound into the lake of fire. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Notice that again. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Repent, believe in Jesus, ask him to save you from hell. Ask him to save you from hell and submit to his lordship, and he will. And if you do, your good works will follow you on into eternity. They must follow. Good works are not done to be saved. They are done as a result of being saved. See, the faith that saves us also changes us. The faith that gives us forgiveness and gives us heaven also gives us a desire to do that which is right. And that's how Christ is able to say, I'll give everyone according to what they have done. 12 and 13 together, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. What is a reward? A reward is the repercussions, the result of what a person does. My reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus was there before anything was created. Let me put it this way. The eternal Son of the eternal Father was there before anything was created, and he will be there forever and ever. Get used to the Son of God, because he's not going anywhere. Verse 15, and get used to the real Son of God, not the one that is made up by modern evangelicals that is so tolerant of everything and anything, just about, because he doesn't exist. Verse 14, blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. In other words, blessed are those who have enough sense to repent and invite Christ to be their Lord and Savior. They're the only ones who will get to go through the gates. And by the way, St. Peter does not have anything to do with the gates of heaven. Peter doesn't decide who gets in. Jesus does. Those who have Christ get in. Those who do not have Christ do not get in. That's what it boils down to. 15. For outside are dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. In other words, those who love their sin too much to repent, ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior, and submit to His Lordship. Those who love their sin too much to do that are not going to get into heaven. They don't go to heaven after they die. Those who love their sin more than they fear hell will go to hell. 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. You know, the morning star is a planet, usually Venus, which appears shortly before sunrise. And as Jesus says here, it is bright, and it is bright. You know, Venus is the brightest object in the night sky after the moon, hands down. When the morning stars appear, we know that the night is just about over and a new day is about to begin. And here Jesus refers to himself as the morning star. And as we have seen in the book of Revelation and elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus will appear right before the end of this old world, and he will bring in a new and much nicer day, literally a new world. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If you want salvation to come, then you must come to God. Let him who hears come. Come where? Come to God through repentance, through receiving Christ. If you want salvation, come to God and receive that salvation. But you have to come on his terms. You can't make up your own way. That means repent. And it also means ask Jesus to take over your life and save you from hell. The offer is to anyone who wants it. God doesn't hold a grudge against anyone, no matter how many sins they've committed. God wants to forgive. 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. And here we go. This is the verse that I talked about a few minutes ago. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And then look at 19. Here's the flip side. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And what is true for this book of Revelation is true for the entire Bible. This is the last book, the last paragraph of the last book of the entire Bible. And God says, don't add to it, don't take away from it. In other words, God is saying, don't you dare touch my word. Don't you dare change my word in any way. And I got news for you. One of the abominations of this present age is the perversion, the twisting of the Word of God that has been taking place with the new translations since the Revised Version came out in 1881, and they started using faulty manuscripts that were found in the garbage of the Vatican. These manuscripts undermined the deity of Christ, salvation through the blood of Christ, the Trinity, salvation by faith, undermined the authority of Scripture, the perseverance of Scripture, undermined anything and everything that you could possibly imagine that is critical. And these are the ones that are used to translate the modern translation. And of course, all the translations are different. People say, oh, the translations, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. They all say the same thing. No, they don't. No, they don't. You know, that's one of those things that gets repeated so many times that people just believe it. And it's not true. I mean, you can prove that it's not true so simply by reading it. But if you need further proof, they get patents for these new translations. They get copyrighted. And you can't get copyrighted for something that you just copied that and not made any changes. So they're changing the Word of God. In many, many cases, they're eliminating many verses. Just exactly what God warned against here. That's why I stick to the received text handed down from the days of the apostles, which was used to translate the King James Version. And all the modern translations are not based on the received text, except for one exception of the major translations, and that would be the New King James Version. And some people feel that they use some of the modern texts too. But my point is this. God is very adamant. I don't want to get into this, right? But I just want to say and reiterate, because God does, and it's so important to Him. Don't mess with my word. Don't distort the message of my word for any reason. And something else, no human interpretation, whether it involves the rapture of the church or anything else, no human interpretation should be elevated and given the same authority as Scripture itself. And one more thing, Christians who say things like, God told me, God spoke to me, God gave me a vision and showed me, I have a word from God for you, followed by some supposed revelation from God, which is in fact nothing more, as I said earlier, than the imaginations of their own mind. You know what those people are doing? And I know some of you are sucked into that, and you think it just sounds so spiritual. Oh, I had a dream from God, and now I'm trying to figure, I've been at it all day with pen and paper trying to figure out what he meant by his dream. You do realize that's a divination that is strictly forbidden by God. And I know some of you people are, maybe not those of you who watch me regularly, because you wouldn't be into that. Because this isn't enough of a variety show for you. You need new revelation, supposedly, and you're not getting it. We don't need it. God says, don't add to my word, don't take away from my word. But those who say, I have a word from God, they're adding to the word of God. That's exactly what they're doing. They're adding to Scripture. God says, don't do that. God's word is fine just the way it is. Or you want to said what he said in these verses. Everything that God wants us to know about how to be saved and how to live right is found in the Holy Bible. So when someone adds to his word or takes away from his word, they are corrupting something that is perfect, holy, preserved, according to the book of Psalms, chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. And God says, they're going to be punished. He doesn't take that lightly. Those of you who walk around saying, God told me I had a dream, God showed me I had a vision, I have a word from God for you, do you realize how much hot water you are in with God? Many of you don't. You just so glibly talk about stuff like that. You ought to be scared to death. God says you're not going to heaven. God says you're gonna experience all the plagues that are written in this book if you do that. And none of the good stuff that's written in this book. I don't know what that means to you, but I know what it means to me. When someone adds to or takes away from the holy word of God, they are corrupting something that is perfect, preserved, and holy. And God says, you're going to pay. You are going to pay. 20. He who testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Final verse of the entire Bible. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You want the bookends to the entire Bible? The very first verse says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The last verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. He created it perfect, but by the time we get to the end, we need the grace of God. We need the unearned favor of God, which is what God's grace is. Why do we need it? Because in between verse 1 and this last verse is a whole lot of sin and condemnation. Judgment. And the only thing that saves you from that is God's grace. And Jesus' final message is that he will return quickly. No one knows the day. No one knows the hour. The moment somebody says, Jesus is going to return on this day, mark it down, take it to the bank. That guy's either deluded, or that woman, or they're lying. But they don't know. And you can mark this down. He's not coming back on that day. That's the one second and the one moment and the one day when he isn't coming back. Jesus' final message is that he's going to return quickly. No one knows the day. No one knows the hour when he returns. But it's going to happen quickly. And for many, it will be unexpected. His return will be good news for those who belong to him and bad news for those who reject him. Because one will enter into the completed joy of salvation, eternal life, resurrected body, new heavens, new earth, while the others enter into eternal suffering and torment in the lake of fire, where the smoke of their torment will rise, according to the word of God, forever and ever. That's the way it is. So that's a wrap on the Bible. If you want to continue studying with me, you can, from Genesis through Revelation, at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Check it out and study the word of God at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages. And please remember, as always, I'm not underwritten, never have been, by any large church or denomination. I've just been teaching the Word of God for almost 40 years, verse by verse, as clearly as I can, the whole counsel of God. And I trust that you will be blessed and fed and drawn closer to Christ. That is my daily prayer for all my listeners. And that God will move upon your heart and you want to be a part of this ministry because it is so vital to get out God's word, to get it out straight without compromise, without watering it down, without adding to, without taking away. And that you will want to be a part of this ministry. I trust that God will raise some of you up to pray for me, to pray for the word of God, and to support this ministry financially as well. And you can do that by clicking the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I appreciate it so much. It's a joy for me to study the Word of God with you. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.